Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. Glad to have you with us here today, and hope you'll stick with us here on AM 1220. The Word will be with you until 2 o'clock here this afternoon, and another good program. Pastor Lutz here before us, if you didn't get a chance to hear that. He had Brother James Maletti in the studio with him, and talking about eternal security. Almost makes me want to change my topic today and continue in that vein. It really was good. I enjoyed that very much. And but at any rate, want to let you know that we are a live program, and I'm going to be talking about a couple of things here as well that are happening, and I'm going to get into that in just a minute. But our toll-free telephone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call this afternoon, and let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer here. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity that we have to come together. We just pray that you would bless the program today. Use it for your glory. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you, Lord. Father, again, we just ask that you would guide and direct us, Lord, and use us for your glory. And we thank you for the opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, like I said, good to be with you here today. And if you've been watching what's happening, the impeachment papers finally made their way in the solemn procession. If you watch that, I had to chuckle when I saw it. The entourage carrying the papers, you know, most of this stuff is transmitted electronically or some, or rather than carry it, you know, like they would, they carried it, you know, it was all. Yeah, they had it on a tray or something. They should have had it on a pillow. And, you know, the one person carrying it in their arms out in front of them, carrying it in a sort of a horizontal fashion, like they were bringing a serving tray, you know, into some formal event. And it reminded me when I saw it I did a wedding one time, and the little boy that was the ring bearer, he had a pillow. And in the practice, of course, you know, we showed him how to hold his hands out and hold the pillow so the pillow would be level with the ring on the center of the pillow and all this, that, and the other. And thankfully, we had a dummy ring on the pillow rather than the real ring. Yeah, it helps to be prepared for various events. And the little boy had the pillow. The wedding party's coming in, and, you know, everybody's coming through. And when it came his time to come in, he comes walking up the aisle toward me where I was standing getting ready to do the wedding. And he had his hands out in front of him, palms up, very solemn. And there was no pillow, let alone no ring. And he gets to me, and he's holding his hands out, and then he throws his hands up in the air as if to say, I don't know. And then he puts his hands back in front of him with his palms up and went and solemnly stood in line with the groomsmen. And I'm trying not to laugh. And I have to say that I thought of that when I was watching the seeing some of the procession heading in, solemnly holding that pillow. I was just waiting for him to get there to the Senate and the person in the front to throw their hands up and go, I don't know. But at any rate, pray for our country, and pray especially for, our president here during this time. And I've got a caller calling in I'm going to get to in just a moment here. I wanted to let you know that the Bible says we ought to pray for our rulers. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all good godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And we need to pray for President Trump during this time. And I really believe that one of the reasons that he is being attacked as much as he is precisely because he is making an effort to stand up for religious liberties. In fact, I believe it was just yesterday was National Religious Liberty Day, and we had a report that I had it here on my computer, and it's gone. I was just going to flip over to it. I'll get it here back momentarily, but he had made a statement regarding National Religious Liberties Day. And when you want your computer to do something quickly, it's when it goes the slowest. A friend of mine says it's the critical need detector that's in operation. The more critical the need it detects, the slower it goes. And here's the article where President Trump celebrated National Religious Freedom Day yesterday with several initiatives, and he declared this. He said, "We will not let anyone push God from the public square." And I think that's a tremendous statement that he made. We will not let anyone push God from the public square. And it's comments like that. Or why we ought to, and not just the comments, but the actions that this president has taken. In fact, Secretary of Health and Human Services Alex Azar, said, "We have in President Trump the greatest protector of religious liberty who has ever sat in the Oval Office," and that's saying something. And whether or not, you know, you agree with that he's the greatest protector, he's certainly one of the greatest protectors of religious liberty, especially following a president who is one of the greatest attackers of religious liberty. And so we got to thank God for that. But, you know, the Bible is pretty clear that just as the world hated Jesus, he's going to hate us. And if the world hates us, now whether or not you believe that President Trump is truly born again, he is certainly doing things that benefit Christians, and also the things, not to mention the things that he's done in benefit of the Jewish people and Israel, recognizing Jerusalem as the capital, moving the embassy there, recognizing their sovereignty over the West Bank and Golan Heights and other things. But John wrote in 1 John chapter 3, verse 13, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you." And the world hates us because the world hated Jesus Christ. And so we understand that if the world hated him, it's going to hate us. And so we understand that if we're doing something that's furthering God's work, the world is going to hate us. And if we are doing something that's helping Christians, the world is going to hate us. And I think that's part of the reason for the attacks upon this president, is because of the great work that he is doing supporting religious freedoms, supporting the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. And the devil hates that, and so he is stirring up his minions to attack him and to try to persecute and hinder him in any way we can. So that's why I say we need to pray for President Trump and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, so that we have that opportunity to be able to spread the word of God, to be able to proclaim the gospel freely, to be able to teach and educate people in the principles of the word of God. And you know, we've been so long cowering in the corner. You know, the government waives the Johnson Amendment. Actually, it's not the government that waives it. It's weak spine pastors that waive the Johnson Amendment and say, "Oh, I can't say anything about politics because we'll lose our tax exempt status. It's not legal." And nothing in the Constitution says it's not legal. In fact, the Constitution has a First Amendment that was passed so that we could say things about politics in the pulpit. Well, enough of that. We're going to get on to our caller here. And you are listening to Live with Pastor Al. And as I said before, or I didn't say before, I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Look us up on line at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And you can also watch the program. We got a YouTube channel for Live with Pastor Al that's streaming on our Facebook page right now. And you can find that there. So with that, we've got our phone caller here today. We've got John calling in today. John, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good day, Pastor Al.
All right, good. It's good to have you with us.
Yeah, real quick question.
Uh-huh.
Genesis chapter 5. List the descendants of Adam.
Genesis chapter 5, yes.
Yeah, list the descendants of Adam. I was wondering why it lists Seth, but Cain's descendants are listed separately. Why is he not included as a son of Adam?
All right. Well, in Genesis chapter 5, starting verse 1, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created him in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, called their name Adam. Okay, so now we get down to verse 3 where it says, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And then it goes on, to give his descent here, I believe, bringing us all the way to Noah. Cain is discussed in the previous chapter, right? In chapter 4.
Cain's descendants are listed, but they're listed separate.
Yeah.
Listed with the descendants of Adam.
Yeah, well, and because they'd already discussed Cain's descendants there, and Cain, of course, you know, for those of who are trying to remember who Cain is, he was Adam and Eve's firstborn son. Their second child was Abel, and their second son was Abel. And then, of course, Cain killed Abel. That's the first murder recorded in the Bible. And then, of course, Cain's descendants, some of them became notable people. Some of them became not just famous, but infamous. And I think it was... who was the other one that, I think it was one of his descendants, Lamech, I think it was, that also killed some people. And, yeah, Lamech killed somebody as well. So he did not have a good line. But in chapter 5, we have given to us the line of Adam that goes down to Noah. And really, at this point, the line of Cain is no longer important, because what's important here is understanding that when Seth was born, Seth was a replacement child for Cain. And obviously, you know, Cain was not killed the second day or two after his birth. They were adults, and in Adam was 130 years old when Seth was born. So we know from chapter 4 that when Cain was sent out into the world, he was worried that somebody might attack him for killing his brother. So there was obviously other people, because Adam and Eve had many children other than Cain, Abel, and Seth. They had a lot of sons and daughters. And by 130 years, those sons and daughters, of course, had children, and those children had children. And so there was grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, etc. by this time. And so there are a lot of people in the world by this time. Easily, there would have been thousands of people living on the earth by this time. So the only important line at this point is the line of Noah, because it's through the line of Noah that humanity is preserved, because the story of the ark comes in, and the flood and the promise of delivering Noah and his family comes in the next chapter, chapter 6. And then, of course, it's through Adam and Seth that we also get the descent of Jesus in the Gospels. And so really, the most important thing here now is the line of Seth, not the line of Cain.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, so but it is interesting because there's a lot of things. It's just like in the elsewhere in Genesis, you get the table of nations in chapter 10, and then you get going from there. You primarily concentrate on the descendants of Abraham, and then even when you get into Abraham's children, Ishmael and then Isaac, and then also he had sons from his third wife, Keturah, and then, of course, Keturah, I might have the name wrong there, but but it's the line of Isaac that becomes the most important, and then, of course, he had Jacob and Esau, and there's some information given on the descendants of Esau, but then from then on it becomes a line of Jacob that's the most important. And then really the line of the kings later on in the tribe of Judah, which gives us all the way down to the New Testament, the genealogies of Mary, and also the genealogy of Joseph, who was the stepfather to Jesus. So it preserves the line for us in the scriptures. So it is interesting when you think about it, isn't it?
It is. It's very interesting. Every time I go through my read the Bible in a year, I always find something that reaches out and slaps me, and for some reason that just did. It just caught me.
Well, you know, and you just made a very good point. That's why we ought to try to read through the Bible more than once. Some people say, well, I read that book one time and that's enough. No, it's not enough. Every time you read it, I like what you said, something reaches out and slaps you, doesn't it? There's always something new.
Yeah, it does.
And that's why we should be in a habit of constantly reading the Word of God. And of course, being January, middle of January now, but it's still not a bad time to start. You can still read through the Bible in 1 year, even if you started now. Just read 5 chapters a day, and you'll probably get through it.
Praying for our president every day. Hopefully, he's exonerated of all this rubbish that's going on.
Absolutely. I mean, there's absolutely no criminal charges that have been brought up against him. I heard somebody on another radio program earlier today when I was getting ready, and they were trying to say, he's got all these charges of corruption. And they said, well, what were they? And, well, there's just so much. Well, what were they? It's like, obstruction of Congress is not a criminal charge.
Yeah, it's all hearsay and accusation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his real crime is that he won the election.
That's it. He beat Hillary.
He won constitutionally. I mean, we are, a lot of people are surprised. And when you say the United States is not a democracy, even though it gets said all the time, we're not. We're a constitutional republic. And I thank God for it. You know, a democracy is two wolves and a lamb sitting down to decide and vote what they're going to have for supper.
That's true.
That's a democracy, but but we have a constitutional republic, and our constitution is based first and foremost on the Word of God more than any other writings. And it was, I believe that God guided them. When they started praying, Benjamin Franklin told them, hey, we've not been praying. And when they started having prayer meetings before working on the Constitution, all of a sudden it started to come.
All right, Pastor. I thank you. I'm not going to take up any more of your time in case another caller calls in, but I thank you, and thank you for your answer.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate that question today. That's always a good, interesting thing. We think about these things. So thank you so much.
Have a good
appreciate
day.
It. You too. God bless. And again, when we look at what's in the Bible, we should not be afraid of questions. I was thinking, talking with John, he was talking about Cain and Seth, and I was mentioning about the number of people in the world by that time. You imagine Adam and Eve having children, even if they didn't have twins, even if they had children every other year. Well, 130 years by the time that Seth was born, if Adam and Eve had one child every other year, what would 130 divided by 2 would be, what would that be? I'm trying to do extensive math here, 65 years, right? Or 65. So that would be 65 children right there alone. And of course, The bulk of those 65 children, or at least 60, some of them, or maybe not quite 60, even if you only said 50 of them, all had had children, and some of them would be grandparents and great-grandparents by then, and their children having children. You know, got to remember, Adam and Eve genetically were perfect before the curse was instituted. And so the various genetic defects that have entered into the human race, they have come slowly over time. And in those first generations of children that Adam and Eve produced, those children would have been nearly genetically pure. And so quite likely there would have been twins and triplets and quadruplets among some of them. But even not considering that, I remember working it out one time. We came out to 130 years, be thousands of people in the world potentially by then, I'm not going to speculate too much without trying to run the math right now. I think we had applied one time a population growth formula to it and came out with a significant number. And so the related question then comes up, well, if Adam and Eve produced all the children that are in the world, and of course in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 20, it says, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living, meaning all people other than Adam and Eve were the descendants, they were born to Eve or descendants of Eve. And so she's the mother, grandmother, great-grandmother of everybody, including you and me. And so as a consequence, where did Cain get his wife? That's the question that comes up. Well, it's very simple. And you say this, and people go, oh, that's just, that can't be. Well, it's true. Like it or not, Cain, his wife, would have been his sister. Now, at the time, there was no prohibitions against this. They were genetically pure. In fact, Abraham married his half-sister, Sarah. And so we see that that's where Cain would have gotten his wife, because she was a descendant of Eve. Genetics has proven that, by the way. Genetic studies have shown that everybody in the world is descended from one woman, and her name is Eve. They know that because of the mitochondrial DNA. The DNA has, there's DNA in the center of your nucleus of your cells, but the mitochondria, kind of the energy plant of your cell, has its own unique DNA, only comes from your mother, and we're descended from one woman. And that is, they call her mitochondrial Eve. I'd like to talk about that more, but we've got Jerry calling in today. Jerry, welcome to the program.
Terry.
Oh, got Terry. Had Jerry up on the board. Sorry about that, Terry. How you doing?
All right. Good. First time I called in during the day.
Yeah, usually calling on our Sunday night program. And for those of who aren't aware, we have a program every Sunday night from 11 o'clock until midnight right here on AM 1220 The Word. And but welcome, Terry.
I'm usually out in the boat on Sundays. I mean, during the day, but I...
Oh, glad to have you.
But, yeah, and I like the conversation you guys just had, you know, like the guys reading the notes through the Bible, and like, you know, how important it is for us to continue reading the Bible every day. And in the Word, being in the Word, not just once a week, but every day.
Yeah, well, and it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, not just some of it, all of it. So if all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, then we ought to read it all, shouldn't we?
Yeah, we're supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If we don't know the Word, how can we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? And every word is important, like even every Scripture is important.
Yeah, and it's given for our learning, our understanding, our instruction.
Right, like for instance, in the beginning, you know, in John 1, it says in the beginning, you know, we need to understand what in the beginning means. The Word, we need to understand what the Word is, which is Jesus.
Right.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Jesus, and the Word was God, and the Word is God. And the thing was in the beginning with God.
Yeah. Well, and just like what you're saying there about all these things are important, it's just like I was touching on that verse in Genesis 3:20, where it says that Eve is the mother of all living. You know, that answers so many questions when you think about it, you know, because I was talking about the question, if you were on hold and heard me talking about where did Cain get his wife, you know, it tells us the answer right there. His wife came from Eve.
I left you my telephone number earlier to have you call me if you could.
All right. Well, hang on, and I'll let our call screener get that number from you because I hear the music coming up there.
He's got it.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. And then we'll get that after the program. But
thanks a lot.
But, yeah, thanks for calling. I'm sure we'll be talking to you Sunday night as well.
Yeah, thank you, Val.
All right, God bless. Thanks for your call today. And I want to thank everybody for listening. And, again, you know, every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Thanks for listening today. God bless. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.